We have been wandering in the desert through Advent, encouraged by the Advent Planning Group to see the echoes in our stories as echoes of migrants in the wilderness who lose their way in the desert, who run out of water, who cry for God's justice and rescue. We also have been invited to remember our wildernesses, to notice the ways that we feel disoriented and hopeless, individually or collectively, and to find our way to the manger, to this vulnerable human baby, to God in human form. But the story doesn't end with Advent, and certainly not with Christmas, and it doesn't end today either. But today we continue this story that also includes desert travel and a visit to a baby. This story, though, is not one only about three kings, as we usually think. The Salt Project commentary highlights that this story is really about two kings. They say it is, quote, a tale of two kings, one utterly vulnerable, yet protected by divine care, the other apparently powerful, yet actually insecure, frightened, and desperate. The rest of the story is that the Holy Family has to flee, that they become migrants, that King Herod is furious. The slaughter of the innocents isn't an incidental element in the narrative, though it's one we skip. It's the culmination of Herod's insecurity and rage. It is an exposure of the violence that is intrinsic to tyranny. It is an echo to Pharaoh of the past and Pharaohs to come. It is an echo of the stories of the Exodus and the story of Moses. In the infant Jesus, the Prince of Peace, we have a vulnerable refugee smuggled into Egypt. We have a story of a very different kind of power, a very different form of monarchy. This is the frame that I want us to hold for this tale told on the day of Epiphany. A frame of a vulnerable and protected infant, and a furious and insecure tyrant who wants to destroy that which threatens him. The Greek root for epiphany means manifestation or appearance. We usually use the word epiphany to refer to something remarkable or new. I just had an epiphany. An insight that leaves us changed. I was thinking about this, and I have had few or no experiences that I would characterize as that kind of epiphany, this kind of bright star. Rather, my life has gone through a number of transitions, unexpected things, it's passed through thresholds. And these experiences bring movement and sometimes very messy change. It's not usually that brilliant star where everything is clear. And so I was thinking about this star and the magi following the star, and this bright star, and even the one on the manger there. And I have to imagine that that star that the magi were following maybe wasn't really that bright. They didn't have a lot of light pollution then, and a star that bright would have been like really noticeable. And Matthew's story in the text suggests that only the magi, only these wise and studied ones, notice the star among thousands of others that are probably visible on a clear night. And in fact, King Herod is dependent on the magi to lead him to the child. This suggests that neither he nor his assassins could follow the star without help. And the magi themselves, we don't know much about them. Some of my reading this week in preparation was interesting. Some suggested that at least one was a woman. Another source suggested there might have been as many as 12 of these wise ones. But what we know is that they were a community of travelers. And I want to imagine that they didn't initially know where they were going, as Anna said. They didn't have a clear revelation of what was coming on their journey. They knew it was an important journey. They were crossing boundaries and borders on their journey. They were crossing thresholds. And this story is a story of boundary and threshold crossing. It is in the Magi that the Gentiles enter the story of the Jews. God is made incarnate to the whole world through the Magi. This is not just a story for the Jews anymore. So we can look at the Magi and we can look at the journeys and the thresholds and the changes that are happening all around us. Some are big stories, stories of new kings. In our time, there are stories of the earth warming at an increasingly alarming rate. We are on the brink of yet another war in the Middle East. Australia is burning. There are floods and storms and rainbows. These Magi are a little part of Matthew's big narrative. Matthew's narrative is one of welcoming, of opening, of a place for the Gentiles. And so we too can look at the big stories of our time, stories of crisis and tyranny, and see little stories, like the story of the Magi that's brought to light in Matthew. We try to get our little stories to connect with others and to the big story to make an impact. Little stories. Someone tries a new recipe. Someone loves this warm winter. Someone longs for ice. Feelings are hurt. Hearts are broken. Friendships are lost. We gather in kitchens and on the couch to share the intricacies and intimacies of life. We love, we laugh, we cry, we grieve. These are the little stories of our lives. So I wanted to imagine the little story of the Magi too. They're walking for days, for months, for years, across a desert, in a place they don't know. They walk at night because they have a star to guide them in a general direction. But for the daily steps, they have to rely on what is in front of them. They're likely tired and hot. Perhaps they have families and they miss them. Perhaps they wonder why they set out on this journey. Maybe they get blisters and argue amongst each other from time to time. And then they get so close they have to stop for help. So they stop in and ask Herod, "Where's the one we seek?" And he's afraid. And he asks those Magi to come back and share what they find. Each of us is on a journey. Perhaps one like the Magi through a desert that lasts weeks or months or years. Perhaps one where we don't quite know where we're going, and we can only tell when we reach a threshold. We are at a threshold of a new year, but perhaps not just new year thresholds, but new things. Imagine if those Magi had known how long the journey was going to take. Imagine if they had known the implications of a visit to Herod. The terror of children killed for one to live. They might have had second thoughts. There are small mercies in not knowing what the journey is going to hold. Then the Magi arrive at the house, and they are part of a new story that is no longer the story of their birth and their tradition. And they find themselves in a new land with a lowly baby not born in a palace. Perhaps they are glad that they are now out of the desert. Perhaps they have entered a new desert. They have lost the comfort of their own land. They are standing at a place of unknowing, at a doorway to something new. That epiphany comes at a time of crossing into the new year, and this year into a new decade, allows us to use the image of threshold as an extra potent one. I want to invite you to think about the ways that this threshold is shimmering with invitation, with possibility and promise, even amidst the desert and the grief that you may find yourself. We think of thresholds and doorways as a place to pause. For me, it's a place to find my keys, maybe to knock, ask for entry. Christine Walters says, I believe our lives are about crossing one threshold after another, opening our hearts to the next invitation, even if it means stepping away from what's comfortable and familiar and what feels unknown. She goes on, in ancient times, wise men and women fled out to the desert to find a place where they could be fully present to God and their own inner struggles at work within them. The desert was a place to enter into the refiner's fire and be stripped down to one's holy essence. The desert was a threshold place where you emerge different from where you entered. I wonder about those magi traveling across the desert in the dark. I have learned from dark periods in my life that in the dark there are many ways to go. There are 1,000 paths that can't be seen. And to make decisions in the dark can be a difficult practice. And I've learned that you can make decisions based on what might be ahead. Maybe what we hope is ahead, or what we are afraid is there. Or we can make decisions based on what we have around us. We can use our other senses when sight has left us. When beside us, next to us, is darkness. We, like the Magi, travel in a pack, in a community, and we can reach out to those around us. We can touch the path, feel it for what it is. We can listen for guidance of the spirit or the gentle trickle of a stream beside us that we might want to follow. It is then that the darkness of the desert offers a star to follow. Not a bright, magical star over the manger, but a star that is clear. A star that is a star of healing and love. A star that points in a direction that we know to be true. And we can make decisions in that darkness based on our deep knowing, rather than on the fear of where we may come out. And then we, like the Magi, arrive in a place that is most unexpected. The Magi are with a king unlike any other. They cross through the doorway and they kneel. And they experience the awe and the wonder of the physical manifestation of God on earth. And then, after they visit Jesus, they have a dream to go home by another way, a way different than, again, they might have imagined. And we too, when we undertake these epiphany journeys in the dark, following stars that we may not understand, we might find ourselves returning home a way we never imagined. What mercy is it that crossing thresholds in the dark, we can come face to face with God on earth? That the journey we take takes us in ways we never expect, and that we can always come home and by a different route. What mercy is it that in the dark there are so many paths? The last time that I preached on Epiphany was in 2013. I was just over being ill. I was sicker than I had ever been in my life. The week before, I had had 104-degree fever for days. I passed out. I'd spent time in the ER. The week that I actually preached, I recovered somewhat, which was a really good thing because it was my pastoral candidating weekend. I hope you all, if you were there, you didn't know that I had been that sick. That weekend was a significant threshold for me, and for you too, I suppose. The new threshold was a doorway that I walked through, not knowing what it would be like to begin a new thing, to become a pastor, to become your pastor. And it's been a gift. And with Scott's arrival now, my job has had some transitions, and I've been transitioning parts of my job to him, and I'm entering a time of thresholds again, though much smaller than that big one. So I'm figuring out my new job of what are the new things that faith formation looks like for all of us, for adults and children, and how do we mark our lives in meaningful ways? In my reading of Epiphany, I've been intrigued by a mostly Catholic custom that's often mentioned in connection with this day, the blessing and the chalking of a house. You may know of this. My pastoral colleagues did not, and I didn't either. There are many versions of this ceremony that I've come across, but they include these elements: the reciting of a blessing on your house or other dwelling and those who inhabit it, the blessing of a piece of chalk that is then used to write a formula above the entry of the house. This formula incorporates the current year with the initials of the wise men, though we're going to the three of them, and their names are not recorded in scripture, but are given by tradition as Caspar, Malachar, and Balthazar. So today it would be written like this. I'm going to show you. You would write 20 for the first part of the year, then C, then M, then B, and then 20, for the second part of the year. See? Very easy. Some folks also note that the C, the M, and the B also stand for Christus Mansinum Benedictet, which means may Christ bless this dwelling. And then there's a blessing of your house. Chalking the doors draws similarities with the celebration of the Feast of Passover, when the Israelites were instructed to put blood on their doorposts. I don't actually know the origin of this practice, and I couldn't find it, but I'm intrigued by its connections with the Magi visiting the home, bringing their blessings, bringing their gifts. And as I've been thinking about thresholds and the desert and the need we all have individually and collectively for blessing, I want to offer today the opportunity for you to do this physical thing, to bless your thresholds. In some of the readings I was doing, children go from house to house, and they bless your house, and then they do the chalking. We're not going to have the children go to everybody's house. That would take too much time. But I am going to send you home with some chalk. I don't know if we did the right blessing for it, but it's been sitting here on the table, so we'll count it. And a small blessing for your homes. This physical thing, this blessing, the threshold of your home, you can also offer other deserts or your small stars or any other emotional thresholds as you wish. I will put the chalk and the blessings in the gathering space on that rolling table. And the blessing that is written here is a little section of a blessing by Jan Richardson, and you can use it at your house. And you can mark your doorway, 20C plus M plus B plus 20. Mitch said I should offer that you could take a picture if you can't remember this, but I think you can. So as you consider both the coming year and your current thresholds, consider how you will enter all that is new and unknown with mindfulness and intention. How will you move through your house and the coming months in a way of trust rather than fear? How can you reach out for those around you when you feel like you're in darkness? With these questions in mind, I invite you to take a deep breath and hear this full blessing by Jan Richardson. The year as a house, a blessing. Think of the year as a house, doors flung wide in welcome, thresholds swept and waiting, a graced spaciousness opening and offering itself to you. Let it be blessed in every room. Let it be hallowed in every corner. Let every nook be a refuge and every object set to holy use. Let it be here that safety will rest. Let it be here that health will make its home. Let it be here that peace will show its face. Let it be here that love will find its way. Here, let the weary come. Here, let the aching come. Let the lost come. Let the sorrowing come. Here, let them find their rest. Let them find their soothing. And let them find their place. And let them find their delight. And may it be in this house of a year that the seasons will spin in beauty. And may it be in these turning of days that time will spiral with joy. And may it be that its rooms will fill with ordinary grace and light spill from every window to welcome the strangers home. And so I say to you, whatever deserts you encounter, whichever stars you follow, wherever you make your home, may it be blessed. And may you enter this Epiphany and the coming year in peace. Amen.